And I'm convinced that if we praise the Lord like we should, we would be a testimony in this community. We would be a light that shines, and they would wonder why we are the way we are. But sometimes we are the sour people, the sour patch kids in our community, and we should not be. I'm going to begin with a verse from 2 Peter chapter 1. We're beginning the new year. We should have a fresh start, but people are afraid of starting because maybe we will not finish. I'm not going to commit myself to reading through the Bible because I probably won't be able to do it. I'm not going to commit myself to a new ministry. I'm not going to sign up for the nursery because what if I don't like it? And what if this? And what if that? And so we're afraid of doing things sometimes when we need to be doing things. Always the same. God is always the same. God's word is always the same. But we should never stay the same. God saved us to become like his son. Unless you say, I'm already like Jesus Christ, I don't need any more work, then you're going to be out for some change. And now you can take it to the extreme. And I read this about Gary Walters. A long time ago. The first time I read it was in a Reader's Digest a long time ago, but it was Larry Walters, 33-year-old truck driver. He had been sitting around without any work for weeks. The boredom got the best of him, and this was clear back in the summer of 1982, so that was a long time ago, even when I read it. He decided enough was enough. What he needed was an adventure. So on July 2nd of that year, he rigged 42 helium-filled weather balloons to a Sears lawn chair in San Pedro, California, and lifted off. Armed with a pellet gun to shoot out a few balloons should he fly too high, Walters was shocked to reach 16,000 feet rather rapidly. He wasn't the only one. Surprised pilots reported seeing some guy in a lawn chair floating in the sky to perplexed air traffic controllers. Finally, Walters had enough sense to start shooting out a few balloons, which allowed him to land safely in Long Beach some 45 minutes later. When asked why he did such a weird thing, Walters usually gave the same answer. It was something I had to do. I couldn't just sit there. Now, I'm not asking that we get Sears lawn chairs and weather balloons and go for an adventure, but I'm asking that we might make this year an adventure. We get a fresh start, so let's make it count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make 2019 be a year that you will remember for good, not for bad. We're at the starting line of this year, and we go to, as soon as I read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, and I have a reason for reading these. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Second Peter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, of Scripture, of God's word is what it is talking about here. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Pay attention to God's word as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, which is certainly a description of God's word for us today, until the day dawn, until the day star arrives in your hearts. I'm looking for the day that Jesus Christ comes back. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It is just not anybody interpreting this. For the prophecy came not of old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved along in writing this book that we're looking at this morning. They were moved along. They used their personalities and their lifestyles, but they penned the words that the Holy Spirit gave them. And now we go back to Genesis chapter 1, and I was reminded by somebody that I respect highly that I only have 10 minutes this morning. And if I want lunch, then I've got 10 minutes. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray. Father, as we look at these verses, might we see some truth that will go with us this week, something that will encourage us to walk with you this week, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here we see, in the beginning, God. The only way we can have a life that is meaningful is with God. I'm going to mention this, but we will not get there today. But the reason I read those verses at the beginning there in 2 Peter, I am surprised at how many evangelical pastors today do not believe God's word when it comes to Genesis chapter 1. I want to tell you, because you might not believe this either, but this is what I believe, that God wrote this word, every word, and that he means it. And if it's going to be translated, it is obvious that when Jesus Christ said, I am the door, it's obvious that he is saying, I am the way in. And so it's easy. It's just common sense English translation. But when we read Genesis chapter 1, common sense English translation is the creation of God came in 24-hour increments, 24-hour days. In fact, Moses, as he penned these words, he made it plain to us that the evening and the morning were the first day. See, that was the way the Jews celebrated the day. It started at sundown until the sundown the next day. And so when they meant 24 hours, they said the evening and the morning. It is not 1,000 years. It is not 100,000 years. God's word doesn't say that God started it and then let it be to evolve for millions of years. And it shocks me when I hear of preachers in our area that say, well, we can't be sure about that. God's word is sure about that. When we, in February, when we have our Answers in Genesis meeting, conference there, and we have classes for the kids, and adults are invited and encouraged to come for the various sessions to learn about this. You can learn about the 24-hour day creation of of all things. And so I just have to say that as we begin this, this fresh start, the only way that your life will have eternal significance is if it is connected to God. And we are not connected to God at birth. We are born dead. We are walking zombies. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, you can become connected to God. And the only way this year is going to count for more than just 365 days is if you're connected to God. So I encourage you, if you're here without Christ, that you take care of that today and also begin every day with God. In the beginning of my day, God. When you wake up in the morning, what do you think about? Does your day begin with God? It should. Do you thank him for the night's rest? In the beginning, God created, made something out of nothing. And my encouragement is, if you wasted 2018, that doesn't have to be 2019. God created something out of nothing. He can give you an eternal year so that it counts. The heavens, he made something out of nothing. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And every time one of these missile cameras is shooting out through the galaxy and sending back pictures, it is declaring the magic, the majesty, the handiwork of God. And every time a new discovery is seen through through a microscope, it is declaring his handiwork. And we're saying, you stand back. Don't be afraid of new discoveries. That's exciting because God is revealing himself to us through those things. He can take an insignificant life and turn it into a significant year, 2019. In the beginning, God created for us, and he moved. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. In your translation, it might be translated hovered, or it might be translated brooded, hovered. What does it show? The Spirit of God is involved in the creation. He is active. I love the word brooded here because in my day, we called them brood hens. And so if you're older, you might remember that, but brood hens. And so mom would say, okay, go gather the eggs, but remember, don't gather the eggs out of the brood hen's nest. And that would tell us, you know, we had little cubicles, and the hens would go in there, lay their egg, pop out, and another hen would go in there, lay its egg. We'd go to gather the eggs in the morning with a bucket, and we'd go in, and we would, even if there's a hen on the nest, we'd reach under, grab the eggs, put them in the bucket, you know, and we'd do that. You don't do that with a brood hen. The brood hens normally will not make their nest in that little cubicle. They'll find a place in a corner of a haystack or in a shed someplace, build a nest, and they will lay eggs maybe 10 days, 12 days. They have a dozen eggs in there. But mom would say, now, don't gather those. We'd say, hey, we found another nest. Well, that's the brood hen. And you go to gather the eggs out of a brood hen nest, and she protects them, and she will peck at your hand. And we had chickens till I was in high school, and I've seen big dogs, mean dogs, being chased by a brood hen. And she just, after that dog, just going crazy because it was snooping too close to her nest. And so it says, this word is brooded. And the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the waters, was actively involved. I read a story of a farmer who's, when the prairie fire swept through their farmyard, it caught the corner of their farm, and it burned their chicken coop, and he was going to examine the damage that was done. Things were smoking, and the coop was demolished, and here in the yard was a dead chicken just laying there, and he walked by, and he stuck his toe there and gave the hen a little flip with his foot, and out from underneath that hen, all these little chicks ran out. They had survived the fire because mom brooded over them, hovered over them. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He is actively involved in our lives. He will be actively involved in our year. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He broods with us. If we went through, he indwells us at our salvation. He fills us daily as we yield to him. He empowers us as we witness. And there in Acts chapter 1, he comforts us when we're hurting. He counsels us when we're confused. He convicts us when we sin. This is all part of his brooding in our lives. The Holy Spirit will brood over his chicks. He's protecting us. He's changed. He wants us to grow and mature, and he does that for us as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus wanted to do this for the Jews. They're in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to gather you under my wings like a brood hen, but you would not, and you've rejected me. And then they put him on the cross. So God, the Spirit of God, hovers or broods over his children. He gives us a purpose in life. He gives us a plan. He gives us power to fulfill that plan. He gives us provision so that we might be able to accomplish his desire for us in year 2019. We're not alone this next year. We are his chicks if we belong to him. And we can hold God's word in our hands. It is us. It is for us. We don't need to be fearful. Ask God to move in your life. He'll care for you because that's what he does. He's like a brood hen. He will control your circumstances. And you say, I did a stupid thing and look where I'm at. God can control those circumstances. He can change it, use it for good. In fact, that's his promise. He will care for you. He can control your scary times, your sad times, your confusing times. We're not alone because we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Well, what was the price? You're not your own. You have been bought, purchased with a price. What was the price? You just have to look up here and you see the cross. It reminds us of the price. The death of God the Son. His shed blood on the cross for us. No wonder he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've paid too much for you. God says, I gave my Son. God the Son says, I gave my life. God the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to brood over you as a brood hen. I'm going to care for you. So where do we look this year? The author is unknown on this poem. I look not back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sinning and regrets. I leave them all with him who blots the record and graciously forgives and then forgets. I look not forward. God sees all the future, the road that short or long will lead me home. And he will face with me its every trial and bear for me the burden that may come. I look not around me, then would fears assail me. So will that tumult of life's restless sea, so dark the world, so filled with war and evil, so vain the hope and comfort and of ease. I look not inward that would make me wretched, for I have not on which to stay my trust. Nothing I see but failures and shortcomings and weak endeavors crumbling into dust. But I look up into the face of Jesus. For there my heart can rest, my fears be stilled, and there is joy and love and light for darkness and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. Look to God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of 2019, God. Take him with you. He wants to brood over you every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, the encouragement we draw from it. Might our year count for eternity, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.